You are so gifted. This is a phrase we say or hear often in reference to someone who seems to be exceptional in some way. We may perceive them to have great musical skills, public speaking abilities, intellectual abilities, or artistic talent, but whatever it is, the implication is that this person is especially talented in some way that others are not. If I asked you to name the most gifted people you know, you would probably name the extraordinary ones, the ones who really stand out because they have an ability that is greatly admired in our society. But are they really the most gifted people? Is there really a hierarchy of giftedness? Or has society taught us to recognize and value some gifts more highly than others? Personally, I think it's the second one. We applaud emphatically after a musician gives an incredible performance, or cheer as professional athletes achieve great feats of physical strength and athletic skill. We marvel at the speaker who can hold their audience captive, and the writer who can weave words together and paint beautiful pictures in our minds. And perhaps sometimes we even believe that some possess a talent for worldly success, financial and otherwise, that they have mastered life in a way that somehow the rest of us could not, and that they are exceptionally gifted for that. But are any of these people with any of these gifts really more gifted than anyone else? I don't think so. Special, perhaps, maybe. But not more gifted, just differently gifted. Every human on this planet is gifted in some way. Every person has something unique and important to offer the world when they live into this potential that God has placed within them. But we're not always good at recognizing all the gifts that people have to offer. Sometimes it's because their gifts are harder to see, and sometimes it's because we as a society devalue the person who possesses those gifts. Our society, and even in the church sometimes, has a tendency to praise certain kinds of people, giving them recognition while writing others off as less gifted or less valuable because of who they are. In some churches, the gifts of children aren't valued. And if they are anything other than invisible or silent in the church service, they're asked to leave. Some churches stifle the gifts of those who are not able-bodied by having inaccessible spaces that limit their involvement in church life. Some churches stifle the gift of those in the LGBT community by forbidding them from preaching or teaching or leading music or participating in other ways. And in some churches, it is women who get stifled by having their gifts unseen or go unaffirmed by the community. Sometimes it is older persons who are written off as having nothing to offer because of the ageism that is so pervasive in our society. And sometimes it's people of color, more often than they should, who get overlooked and patronized. These are just a few examples, but there are many, many more. And I wholeheartedly believe that this is not what God intends for the church or for the world. God wants us to realize that every human being is a gift and a valuable part of our community. And as the church, we are called to model that to a world that is unfortunately increasingly divided and judgmental, as we are reminded of on social media and the news every day. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians that we read this morning, he's trying to explain how all of God's people are gifted and how it is possible that they are created and gifted so differently, yet filled with the same Spirit. And as I read the passage this week, I found myself wondering what exactly was going on in the church that they needed to hear this particular message. Why did they need to be reminded that even though everyone has different abilities and gifts, that they are all valuable. It seems that things were happening in this church. People were performing miracles, prophesying, speaking in tongues, healing people. Maybe they were trying to figure out what all of that meant. Maybe they were elevating some people with certain gifts or societal status over others. Maybe some were beginning to feel inferior or left out. Maybe there were some wishing they could have all the gifts. Whatever the reason, Paul stresses that every gift that the Spirit gives is valuable, and that the different gifts are given to different persons for the common good. Maybe if Paul were writing a letter to a church today, it would sound a little more like this. Siblings in Christ, I don't want you to overlook or misunderstand the spiritual gifts among you. You who honor Jesus are filled with the Spirit, and that Spirit gives spiritual gifts to God's people. There are many gifts, and they all come from God. Some people always seem to know the right thing to say or the right path to take. Others are able to understand complicated intellectual ideas. Some are able to hold on to hope and faith when no one else seems to be able to. Some are prayer warriors, while others are gifted social justice advocates and community organizers. Some have artistic abilities, some are empathetic listeners, masters of hospitality, and others are just good at making people laugh. Some are great at providing a different perspective on important issues. Others are great at communicating, but no matter what gift you have, you can be sure it comes from the Spirit and it is meant for the good of all people. In essence, what I think Paul is trying to communicate is that we're all different, we're all differently gifted, but those differences are what help us to thrive. The fact that we are differently gifted means that we were made for each other, and it also means that we were not made to do it all on our own. I believe this is an essential part of God's message for humanity. Even God only exists in relationship. In the Corinthians passage, God is referred to multiple times in different ways. We think about God as creator, we hear about the Spirit, and we hear about Jesus. And most of us probably didn't even think about it when we heard the passage this morning because we're so used to hearing all those terms for God. God, Jesus, Spirit. Yes, all three separate persons and all one, all God. And sometimes we use language of God, the creator, Jesus, the redeemer, and Spirit, the sustainer. All three with different strengths or roles, and all one. All perfectly reliant on one another. The perfect model of healthy interdependence. I think when many people think of God, the first thing we think of is a powerful, almighty figure, because that's the one that we hear about most often. We don't often think about a God who lives in community, dependent on the different parts of God's self with their different strengths and abilities. But this is the God we worship, the God of the Trinity. In fact, it's one of the things that makes Christianity unique and that puzzles so many people who have not grown up with this imagery. We worship one God that is three separate persons working together in seamless community. In the Trinity, God models for us the interdependence and community that we are called to live into ourselves. God reminds us that we're not meant to go it alone. Even God doesn't really go it alone. Just like God, we are meant to depend on each other and live in community. Now, that can be a hard truth to embrace in a society that seems to value independence above all else. As a society, we want to be self-sufficient. It's the mark that we've made it in life. And this is part of the reason young adults who still live with their parents are talked about as disappointments, when in other countries, it would be considered normal for multiple generations to live together in the same house. In the same way, there are not as many other countries where people are quite as prone to moving so far away as we are in the United States of America. We move across the country to pursue careers or start life anew. We like to feel independent. It's a virtue for us. But doing it all on your own is a lot of pressure. And it's part of the reason why, as a society, we are so stressed out, exhausted, addicted, and lonely. We weren't created to be self-sufficient. We were created for community. Now, I will admit I'm just as bad as the next person at wanting to be self-sufficient. Ever since I was in school, I never really liked asking for help. I don't know if it's because I'm an oldest child or I have achievement issues. But asking for help was never my favorite thing to do. In fact, it's why I failed my multiplication test in third grade. I didn't understand and I couldn't learn fast enough, but I felt too ashamed to ask for help. I was usually a good student, so I wasn't used to asking for help, and when I needed to, I thought I should just be able to figure it out on my own. But I failed. And when my parents saw that I had failed, they didn't scold me. They bought flashcards. And they spent time helping me learn in a way that I could not have learned on my own. They would have done that before, had I asked. I'm sure my teacher would have helped me, had I asked. But I had been too prideful and ashamed to admit that I couldn't do it on my own. Sometimes it's tough to admit we can't do it all. I don't know personally about this, but I've heard that one of the hardest things about getting older is realizing that you can't do everything that you used to do, and that you really can't do it all. But as much as we hate it, maybe not being able to do everything is in itself a gift, because it brings us closer to each other. When we depend on others for those things that are limitations for us, and let go of what we can't do ourselves, I think we experience little glimmers of the kingdom of God among us. A few years ago, a movie called Finding Dory came out. Did anybody see that movie? I had a feeling I was gonna be like one of few who had actually seen this movie, so I'm gonna tell you about it. Finding Dory came out a few years ago, and I think it was one of the best stories of interdependence and friendship that I have seen in a long time. If you haven't seen it, which it seems most of you haven't, I would recommend it. It's a kid's movie, but it is incredibly meaningful. The main character is a fish named Dory, and she has a big problem with short-term memory loss. So she is constantly forgetting people's names, forgetting, well, fish's names, because she's a fish, forgetting what she was doing, why she is in the room that she's in. And so when she goes searching for her parents, who she lost at a very young age, she really has to depend on the other fish to help her. She receives help from an octopus with some PTSD and past trauma issues, a nearsighted whale shark who can't see very well but has some great hearing abilities, a disfigured common loon, many other animals along the way come and help her. And each one is gifted. Each one has something unique to offer to the others, and together they have everything they need to get where they need to go and find who they need to find. I think that's what it means to be part of God's kingdom. None of us can do it all, and we shouldn't try. But together, we have what we need to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. Being part of God's kingdom means you don't have to do it all. Yay! You just have to be yourself in community. God's gift of interdependence is evidenced by our diversity of abilities and personalities. And when we learn to embrace that gift, we can also learn to embrace our limitations. And it is our limitations sometimes that remind us that we belong. Now, your limitations aren't the same as mine, and neither are your strengths, and that's beautiful. Whatever your gift is, whether it's making people feel welcome, helping things run smoothly behind the scenes, bringing warmth and laughter into a room, providing sage wisdom that only comes with time, whether it's really seeing people, leading worship, connecting to the larger community, protesting in the streets with signs and joyful music, leading worship, connecting to the larger community, praying in the privacy of your home. All of these things are essential and important to the life of the church, and there are many more that I haven't mentioned. And your greatest strength that you have is probably somebody else's greatest weakness. But together, our gifts make the church body complete. Whether you're old or young, male or female, non-binary, gay or straight, black or white, full of energy or incredibly exhausted, you are a gift. You are a gift to the community, and by simply being here, you offer something that none of the rest of us can. We wouldn't be complete without you. And every time we welcome a new person into our midst, we become a more complete picture of who God is and who we are called to be. A loving community, united by the Spirit, helping one another to do things together that we could never do alone. May it be so.
Turn to 420 in the hymnal worship book, Heart with Loving Heart United.